This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Morgan, and with me today is the fabulous, the fantastic, the fiery Mr. Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
I'm doing really well. I'm well rested, I would say. I took a long ass nap, like at 4:30, and I went grocery shopping, got me some gummy bears. And I'm here, baby. And so I'm here, baby. Love you, baby. I'm here. Wait, I saw this cute Twitter interaction that you were in. Maggie was on the Big Brother live feed updates Monday.
Oh, yes.
And Evie, who is a previous guest that we have had on here, tweeted that they were saying hey through the screen while they were watching. I just thought that was so cute. So shout out to Evie.
Yeah, because I was, yes, shout out to Evie. I was plugging this podcast and I was like, we had a great guest on the other week. Evie Jagoda was with us and Taryn was like, yeah, Evie just tweeted that they listen to this podcast. So then we both said hi, but I love it because they were not a Big Brother fan before. Yeah. And they, like, if you follow them on Twitter, definitely give them a follow because they've been like going sort of through the fandom, like discovering if they enjoy it. And I feel like Big Brother Celebrity is the perfect season for like a brand new beginner to start watching live because it's like Big Brother light.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you know, it's like 20 something days. The people aren't that great, so it's not going to be like bogged down with intense strategy that you would have had to have like context for years to understand like the references. So I feel like it's a really good beginner season. I got my brother's girlfriend into Big Brother 23, and then she went back and watched both Celebrity seasons. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's a really good way to sort of like get the people in your life into it. So as shown by Evie,
I got my best friend into last season. Funny story. So we're going to get into Housewives just right bit, but I need to tell Maggie this one point and whoever's listening, but I got my best friend into Big Brother last season. Right. And when I was with Tiffany, I FaceTimed him and the sweetest lady ever was on FaceTime. We were at like a club, a bar, just sitting on FaceTime for like 15 minutes. I was like, yo, I love you.
Oh, it
was
God, I love it. That's great.
It was so sweet.
We'll have to talk more about you and Tiffany off pod because that's not the show that we're talking about. We're talking today about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, season 2, episode 20. And I'm going to be honest, guys. I didn't love this ep. I didn't.
This ep gave us redundancy, it gave us stupidity, it gave us drunkenness, and it gave us debauchery.
I think that the biggest issue that I have is like the main cause of tension in this episode. Like, obviously, we had the drop down drag out fight between Mary and Lisa at the table.
It wasn't like, I feel like it was.
But then Lisa, according to Lisa, it was because we watched her like, you know, basically Tasmanian devil through this episode. And like, because the way that she was reacting, it was like, it's the worst fight she's ever been in her life. Mm-hmm. And, but then like So we had that where there was like actual conflict because they were like saying stuff. And the only conflict within this episode is like, when was the memorial? Which is just like a disgusting plot line. Like Meredith's father died. Like they're just being openly cruel to her about that. Like trying to act like she lied. And like we've talked about on this podcast before, like when somebody dies, especially someone in your immediate family, it doesn't matter if you have a memorial one day. If people are coming into town, if people are doing stuff, you do multiple days of activities and events and get-togethers. Like, leave her alone.
And it's very inappropriate. And I just don't understand how they don't see it being at what it is. Like, they see it like, oh, we're trying to get... And what bad... So, before we started recording, Maggie said bad weather. And I'm like, yes, bad weather. Bad Heather and Whitney. And what...
This is... Yeah, this podcast, let's just only refer to them as bad weather. Because I've been seeing it on Twitter,
literally,
too.
Literally, bad weather. And I saw this tweet, and I was like, this tweet is so spot on. Bad weather needs to realize that they are on a Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and not Scooby-Doo show. Trying to crack every lie, every misunderstanding. Like, first off, this is very inappropriate for y'all to be talking about. This woman just lost her dad, and y'all are talking about a day for her memorial because y'all think she called the feds on Jen Shaw. F off, bad weather. Y'all have no other storyline other than continually talking about the memorial and their friendship and Mary and Meredith. Like, get over it.
That's the issue, is that, like, they don't have a strong storyline other than this. And, like, I get we could have done one episode with Meredith running around the house being like, oh yes, I'm going to call the FBI. Like that would have been entertainment, you know, like that's fine. But now we're on like our fourth episode where like, this is the storyline and I'm just over it. Like because it's never interested me because it's so stupid. Mm-hmm. It's like asinine. Mm-hmm. Like it's clearly not the truth. So like, why are we doing this? Like this storyline reminds me of how I feel. Well, I've never really seen an episode, but like how I think I would feel watching The Bachelor, because I would just be like, you are being fake. And like, this is just not true. Like you being like, I feel like I'm in love with you. Like, that's just not true. Like you being like, oh, I think Meredith lied and called the feds and is lying about her dad's memorial. Like anyone on the outside can see that that's just not the case.
Yeah. Meg, wait, you don't think The Bachelor is like, they're
no,
not.
Meg, don't even get me started. Wait,
are you saying that they can't fall in love in that amount of time or what?
I mean, I think the whole Bachelor thing is the most ridiculous thing because one, I am a picky girl. Okay. And I can see someone on paper and be like, oh my God, they are so awesome. And then get with them in person and be like, whoa, no. And how does that not happen? And everybody's always like, people do leave. Okay, like one person every three seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Okay, so then it's like everybody gets on the show and is like, oh my God, this person is my soulmate. And then like within like 3 days... And then the person is like dating around while other people are there, which like also I don't do. Like if we're dating and I'm falling for you, like you will not be seeing other people. And I know that's the premise of the show, but like what's happening here? Also, I feel like anyone who goes on a show on like that show is a little bit like wild and like crazy because for lack of a better term, because like, I don't want my romantic business out there. Like my romantic business is like very personal and I don't want to be like on TV, like talking about like if I want to sleep with someone or not. Like that's wild to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on TV talking about who I want to kiss, cuddle, lay in bed with, hump, you know, do all that stuff with. So I feel you.
But like also, I mean, you know, that's why we watch them on reality TV, right? Those are the people that like, I'm sure I would not belong on that show. I podcast about Temptation Island, which if we want to actually like really talk about
they
people who
on.
are wild and crazy, like those people are wild. But like, I just, yeah, to me, The Bachelor, like I can't stomach it because it's like, what is happening? Also, like, it's so like, Everyone is like blonde and named Lauren.
TBH.
Like, I don't know.
We need a Maggie in there.
Like, where's I don't know. I would be horrible on The Bachelor. I would get there and be like, this guy is lame. And also, like, I'm not about to embarrass myself by falling over myself in front of all of these other women. So I think I'll just leave.
TBH, I'm with that. I'm with that. I feel you.
Sorry. Wow, we've talked about every single show other than The Real Housewives at the top of this podcast. Everybody, I mean, obviously this episode blew.
Wait, look at my face.
To anyone who is listening audio, which is everybody because we don't record the visual of this podcast, Jacob was just like holding his eyes, basically being like, oh my goodness.
Okay, back to Housewives. Bad weather.
Okay, so basically... Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is going over like beat by beat what happened in the episode is not going to be very entertaining for everybody. So why don't we do like some overarching stuff? Like, why don't we start with Lisa in her bedroom, full sobbing, and all of the women realizing that she's like as upset as she is and rushing in there, and her line that was everywhere. Okay, so, and this is the thing. I feel as though I was a bit gaslit by Twitter because they were posting screen grabs from this episode, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be an amazing episode. And then this was the only, like, exciting moment, which is when Lisa's holding the hairdryer in the bathroom, and she's sobbing, and she's saying, I'm richer than all of you. I don't need to be here. And Jacob, what I have to say about that is that if Lisa Barlow were really that rich, she would not be holding that type of hairdryer. She would have that $600 Dyson.
God, Maggie, don't drag her now.
When Maggie stops being a stan, she gets dirty.
No, I mean, I still think Lisa is going to propel us into next season. Like, we need Lisa going into next season because... her and Meredith are going to have this crazy falling out, I'm sure, based off of her, you know, through the door confessional. But yeah, I was just like, one, hilarious. Two, absurd. Three, you're holding like a $40 hairdryer, Lisa. And there's a $600 one on the market.
Yeah, that moment. First off, Lisa always... And honestly, in recent episodes, we've seen her prove, I am a good person. I am a great friend. Like all these self-loathing comments about herself, which if you love your, you know, some people say that you have to love yourself, you know, most because who else is going to do it? And Lisa Barlow proves that, like she loves herself the most. And
yeah, no, she wears her insecurity on her sleeve. Jacob.
She does, but her verbally outwardly, she can like, oh, I'm like, I'm the shit. But this moment was just very tacky. Like it's like in the way that she can prove, oh, I'm a great friend. And like for her, she said so many lowball things this entire Zion trip, specifically once she went in that bedroom and said all that type of shit she said about Meredith. And now she wants to come and make another kind of comment saying, oh, I'm richer than all y'all. I don't even have to be here. Well, if you don't leave, you've been earning your check on this show.
She was trying to.
Lisa Barlow's not going to fucking leave the Housewives of Salt Lake City. She loves this shit too much. Even if it's chaotic and messy, she loves being in the middle of it. And so for you to add all these attributes about how awesome you are, how loving you are, how a great friend you are, and for this entire trip, the only thing to come out your mouth is dirty shit, I'm disgusted and do better.
I think that she just like, clearly, okay. So on Watch What Happens Live, Meredith was like, Lisa said that she thought that I said that her house was ugly or something. And that's why she went on this rant. And I do think that there has to be some truth to that, because if she's saying like, I'm richer than all of you, like that's top of mind. But also when I was watching Lisa in this moment, I was like, oh, she's wasted. Like she was really drunk, I think, because who like gets hysterical like that if you're not a little lubricated, you know?
Oh, not lubricated.
I don't know. Okay. All right. So she's in there crying. Bad weather is like, we were standing up for you. Like Whitney was like, I just stood up for you so hard that Meredith left the table. And then we cut to Mary Cosby saying, Heather over here with her smug self, she has the snobbiness of a true Mormon. She doesn't know she looks inbred. Mary. Now Mary. Now Mary. No. Okay. Physical appearance comments, never here for. The snobbiness of a true Mormon, say what you got to say, Mary Cosby.
The thing is, I didn't really, I had an idea what an inbred was, but I had to look it up because I really didn't know. When she made the comment, by, I saw people on Twitter were like either, oh my gosh, she said that, or oh my gosh, that's so nasty she said that. So it was like both ends. And so I was like, wait, I don't know what this is. So I looked it up. And I heard the comment before, so I kind of had a, I kind of knew a little bit what she was talking about, but I just had to verify. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything else. Yeah. I don't know what else to say except for now, Mary.
But I feel like that.
Careful now.
I feel like that is like a true hot moment, even though she still had her mic on. But just imagine Mary, like seeing that under her breath as like it's so much drama happening upstairs. Like she would not like, and she was facing the window. Like that's a true, I feel like, hot mic moment. And I wish she was at the reunion answer for it, but we know that she is not. But yeah, this whole moment with Lisa in the restroom crying and saying all this in bad weather, coming to her and saying, we're here for you. And then Whitney saying, hey, I want to be here for you. Tell me what I need to do. I'm like, y'all are grabbing at like, it's, you know, the thing that people say, oh, people bond when they have a mutual disdain for a person. And I feel like this is all that is. Like they have a mutual disdain for right now, Meredith and Mary. And that's the only concept that they can bond over. And every time they're together, that's all they talk about is that friendship. And so for Whitney to literally grovel at this woman, the same woman that allegedly was doing the catering thing against her friend, was just doing all this type of shit at the beginning of the season and of last season. And for you to be like, hey, Whitney, I want to be here for you, Lisa. I want to be here for you. Tell me what I need to do. I'm like, bad weather, go home. I don't have time for y'all.
Well, Heather even says, like, she's like, Lisa's friendship with Meredith has protected Meredith from Jen. Jen has a lot of shit on her. And I'm like, okay, Whitney has legitimate reason to be upset with Mary and not like Mary. Like, Mary has been cruel to Whitney. But, like, to then throw all of that animosity at Meredith, who's just trying to be discerning, I think is unfair. And honestly, like, I just kept writing over and over and over again, like, Lisa is just hysterical. Like, she's, like, nobody can say anything to her. And this was at the point where Whitney goes downstairs to talk to Meredith.
and got schooled, read down. Uh-huh.
But like, I think she was blacked out here. Like, this is how she looked at Jen's birthday party, season one, when she told Jen that everyone was afraid of her. And Jen threw the glass and Coach Shaw had to escort Jen out.
Icons.
But she, like, literally she was glossy eyed, red faced, like, and she's like, I didn't mean any disrespect, Meredith. I just wanted to get to the bottom of it. And Meredith was like, I don't believe that you haven't spoken to your father. I don't believe that. Let's just take a stab to you and rip it right open. And she goes in about Whitney's dad. And Whitney's like, how dare she do this low blow knowing what she knows about my father? And I was like, Whitney, you did start it. Like, I mean, you started it, Meredith ended it. Like, and I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and so when Meredith first made that comment, I was like, like, that's, like, very touchy, but I do agree with you. Like, Whitney, you started this whole thing first, and Whitney made a comment, at least Meredith knows where her father is. That's, like oh, that's still shitty. Like, this whole situation is shitty. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was so appalled, and she kept talking about that situation, she talked about it on Watch What Happens Live, she talked about it in her confessionals. But when she said that, and yeah, maybe to your point, she was drunk, so it probably didn't register like it did the next day, or when she had to come back to her confessionals, but she didn't say anything. She just kind of like was like, okay, I guess you're right. Like, I don't have anything else to say in this moment. But then in her confessional, she was like, I cannot believe she went that low, X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, you have all this energy. And throughout this entire episode, Whitney has had all this energy in her confessionals, but when it came to like in-person time, it was nothing. And that's what annoyed me the most about Whitney this episode.
I don't know. I think that she gives, I think actually Whitney is the least, I think Whitney gets overwhelmed. And I do relate to this because if somebody is coming at me, I like need a second to like think, like my brain doesn't move that quick. And I think that's the exact same way for Whitney. But I think anything that like Whitney has said in her confessionals on Watch What Happens Live, she will be saying to Lisa's face or to Meredith's face next season. And I think that Whitney is the one who like will go up. She's like the shitster. Like she'll be like, Meredith, when was the funeral? Like, you know, she just is like, I think Heather is the one who will like back away and doesn't want the conflict. Like Whitney will say stuff. She's just not like quick and making jabs the way that she is in these confessionals on Watch What Happens Live. And that's why you're like, it's not giving. But I do think that she like will say stuff. Clearly.
That's why I specified this episode. She annoyed me this episode, was because I saw a lot of that. Oh, like she would come off so pissed off in her confessionals, but in person she would like be too stunned to speak. I'm like, nah, like come on. You know that TikTok reference?
Yeah, the woman was too stunned to speak.
And I was like, come quicker, come faster. Like if you, and then like in the fact that she had all that energy and she went upstairs, and I feel like was like, oh yeah, I said this to Meredith and I'm so mad right now. Oh, I did all this, trying to act like a big bad wolf when she just got sunned downstairs by Meredith and she got sunned by Mary looks at her. So in every sense of the word, Whitney got read down and I was here for it.
Well, what Whitney said was Meredith was like, if you were my friend, you would believe me about the fact that I was at my father's memorial. And Whitney quips back, do you want me to hire a PI to talk about that? And then like, that's what she runs upstairs and is like, oh my God, I just said that to her.
She amplified that to the max though.
Yeah. And then Jen is giving her a high five. And
that's my girl.
I just would like to say that if Jen Shaw ever gives me a high five for something that I've said, I will know I've made a grave mistake. I have negative 50 respect for Jen Shaw. So if she is ever on my side, that is how I know I am wrong.
Well, we are talking to the same cast that if Jen calls them Shrek or if Jen calls them X, Y, and Z, if Jen tries to fight them, if Jen gets up in their face, they're going to forgive her. So obviously these cast members don't have a common sense is not common, Maggie.
Yeah.
And these ladies are proving that. Yeah.
So basically Meredith comes upstairs after Whitney finishes with her.
She had the look in her eyes of the tiger. She was ready to
Yeah, she was ready. And I mean, look, I think Meredith was a little lubricated as well.
Mary wasn't.
The tequila was flowing. Yeah. Mary was the only one who had not had the Vita tequila. So Meredith goes upstairs to try to like suss it out. And she's like, Whitney, who was talking about this? And she's like, everyone was talking about it. And Lisa comes running into the room, literally like face red, neck, like veins popping out. And Lisa's like, I never said that. And just starts yelling. I was like, Lisa, you have to stop. Like somebody put her to bed. Like somebody put Lisa to bed. She's exhausted and drunk and like is not making sense. That's why it was so hard for me to write down what was going on in this episode, because it wasn't making any sense. Like this was just a drunken fight that didn't make sense to me.
I think the drunken fight was, that should have been the title of the episode, a drunken night. But when Lisa came in, it was so many times that she said, I wasn't speculating, because Meredith went upstairs with a fierce look in her face and her eyes. And you could just tell like, oh, she was ready to handle business. It was so funny because Jen was like Meredith, when she came upstairs, she went to the restroom where Whitney and Heather was. And she stood there. And then Jen was like in the doorway. And so Jen sat down and that's when it all took place. And I feel like just me staring at Meredith when she gets irate, I would be terrified as well. And how her voice gets, I would be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But through this argument, and Meredith asking Whitney who said what, Whitney lists all the women that said something. First she said everyone, and then Meredith like, I need names. Give me names. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa comes in saying, I didn't speculate on your father's death, Meredith. And then Meredith was going to her source, Whitney. Didn't you say that she speculated? Yeah, I did say she speculated. I did not speculate. And I'm like, it shows y'all talking about the thing. And it showed you with Heather on that Rock Canyon talking about the dates of the memorial. I'm like, mm-hmm. Lisa, you cannot like own up to the shit that you were partaking in. Everyone said something besides Mary. Everyone was a part of it. And the fact that you are so passionate saying that you didn't have anything to do with it, you weren't speculating, and this is your friend for 10 years, and like, it's just very gaslighty. And probably she didn't remember. Maybe she didn't remember being a part of those conversations. I'm not going to give her the benefit of that. Absolutely not. It was very gaslighty. I'm like, you obviously said these things. It's on camera, you saying these things. You willingly partaking in conversations dealing with this, and now when the fire gets on your ass, you're gonna be like, oh, I never speculated. But the person that came to Meredith and asked her is saying you speculated, and everyone knows that you speculated. Make it make sense. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, and that's what really pissed me off.
Yeah, it like literally makes no sense. That's why we spent the first 50 minutes of this podcast talking about other things.
Yes.
Because like this episode is a mess. So then like Meredith gets mad and leaves, and Whitney, like, this was the moment when I was like, everyone has to go to bed. Like, this has to end. Whitney is so drunk and she's running through the house, humiliating herself, being like, Mary, Mary, find your friend, Mary. Mm-hmm. And goes up to Mary and is like, go take care of Meredith. And I was just like, oh my gosh, she is so drunk and embarrassing. And then Mary in her confessional is like, it's exhausting to argue with someone that drunk. Nobody even knows what she's talking about. And I was like, exact. That's literally what I was saying in my head, Mary. Like, it's just no, there's no reasoning with her. And then the next day.
Wait, I want to make a comment before they go, before the next day happens. So when Meredith was upstairs, her and Lisa were going at it. Meredith leaves the room, and then Heather, I think I have down Heather makes a comment. Heather makes a comment in her confessional saying the way that Meredith is reacting to them questioning her is saying a lot, and it's kind of saying that she's guilty of lying about her father's memorial. I wrote that down and I was so livid, because if 1 + 1 = 2, wait, what's that meme thing? I forgot how it goes, but this shit didn't make sense, because y'all are accusing this woman of lying about her father's memorial and calling the FBI on this woman. And like, y'all are surprised or like freaked out that she's lashing out like this. It's deserved. It's a lot more is deserved than what Meredith is giving y'all right now. And the fact that she said, oh, the way that Meredith reacting to us questioning her, it gives off a lot that she's guilty. Heather, go to
but this is what I'm saying, like, this is just so stupid. This is why I'm disengaging from this, because it's the stupidest stuff ever. Like, it's just frankly not true. It's mean, it's cruel. Like, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. So then Lisa says in her confessional, like, it's unbelievable to me that Mary can say and do whatever she wants, and I make one comment at dinner and I'm offensive. Whatever. So everyone goes to bed. The next morning, Whitney says she woke up with the biggest hangover and she just wants to leave. Like, Whitney basically is asking Jen, like, what happened last night? And is like, how did it end with them? Like, is it okay? And Jen was like, no, you just called her out. Like, you just were like being real. And Whitney was like,
I hate that.
Like, clearly Whitney has no memory. And I was like, yeah, exactly. So then basically Heather and Lisa do a little check-in, and Lisa says she just feels like her friendship doesn't matter to Meredith. And, you know, basically she's like, it's so weird. Lisa says in her confessional, like, it's so weird that I would leave here being at odds with Meredith and bonding with bad weather. And then Mary rides in an SUV behind the Sprinter van. Meredith gets in the Sprinter van because a la Evie talking about survivor strategy, she's like, I do not want to give these people any more time to talk crap about me. So she rides in the Sprinter van, and that's her trip to Zion.
And she, and the fact that she kind of clocked that, she said, every time I'm not in the Sprinter van, they talk about me. So I'm not missing the Sprinter van this time. And they showed a clip of the Sprinter van, and it was complete silence. Like, Meredith was laying down on her phone. Like, these girls don't have anything to talk about if it's honestly not concerning Mary and Meredith friendship, or how Mary treats people, how Meredith is defending her. And honestly, I have not seen Meredith go out of her way to like make exuberant excuses for Mary. I feel like Meredith has stayed consistent with saying she treats me well. Mm-hmm. And we've seen her check Mary and behind closed doors. And honestly, when they were talking about, and I wrote this down in my notes as well, Kind of the next morning after the big fight, Lisa was, I think, talking to someone, and she was talking to, I think, Heather or someone else, because Heather went to go check on Lisa. And she was saying, she knows that, she was saying in her confessional that Meredith knows that I love her, and Meredith knows that I love her family. Meredith knows that, like, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, okay, you said all of these things. You included her family on your disses.
I know.
And I'm like, and she said this in her confessional. So she already said this probably months before she recorded her confessional. And she's still doubling down. Oh, Meredith knows I love her and I love her family. I can't do her in person as well as you do.
I need to know, like, I just need to know what. I'm so glad Meredith got to see this before the reunion, because I need to know how Lisa defends herself. Like, it's indefensible. It really is. So, like, I need to know what she's going to say. I should probably cry and be like, Meredith, no, honestly, I didn't mean it.
Yeah, but she says she didn't, spoiler alert, but she says she didn't leave on good terms with Jen or Meredith. So I'm assuming that definitely her tears or whatever she said definitely did not suffice. But another thing I want to add, when Heather went to go check on Lisa, because now they have common enemies together, they still were talking about, oh, how weird the Mary and Meredith friendship is. And then they showed a clip of Mary and Meredith downstairs eating with Jenny, and I like love this moment because Mary was talking to Meredith like, I need to see a smile, give me a smile, like, I like, this is what their friendship is like when they are around each other. Mm-hmm. They really don't talk about you other ladies. We've seen them laugh, we've seen them do all these other things, we've seen Brooke, you know, her relationship with Brooks, her relationship even with Teddy, mm-hmm, the dog, Mary's, you know, with, mm-hmm, Meredith's dog, and so all these different things. And just to include that cute moment of Mary and Meredith sitting at the table the next morning, and Mary was like, I need to see a smile, Meredith, give me a smile. It was just very, mm-hmm, cute. And this is the friendship that you ladies don't see. And that's why y'all are the weirder ones, honestly. But yeah.
Yes. So then we get back to Salt Lake City life. Seth and Meredith are talking about going to Reiki, which is like energy healing. Seth is talking about that, which, whatever. The less Seth on my screen, the better, honestly. So Heather, apparently, like, her daughter did like a college reveal as though like it was a gender reveal. But she picked UCA Santa Barbara, which was exciting for her. Sure. And like, you know, Heather has done an amazing job raising those girls. Like, she's an amazing mother. Like, there's no doubt about that. She's gone through like a lot of strife, and her girls seem to really just adore her and to be really doing amazing things. So
was the baby daddy there?
Like,
I think, yes, I saw, yeah, there,
I her ex-husband.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was there. And then they show Jen talking with her lawyer and they're prepping to go to New York and go over all of the evidence. And they're talking about Stu. And the lawyer says that if Stu takes a deal, he might testify against her. But Jen was like, but right now we're on the same side, right? Like, even though I can't talk to him, we're on the same side. And the lawyer was like, we'll see.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, we know that he did take a deal. And so, we know that he did. So, yay. Not yay. Sorry. Not yay. But, like, man, we know he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not yay.
Not yay.
I mean, unless she is guilty. And she's going to, I don't know. I just, like, how is it that her arrest has, like, gotten lost in the saw? Like, how are we focused on, like, when Meredith's father's funeral was and not Jen allegedly defrauding the elderly?
How?
I think that Jen is just, like, really good at what she does. Like, she's good at moving away, playing the victim, mm-hmm, you know, manipulating people. I think she's just good at what she does.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I have, like, Lisa is asking her son, Baby Gorgeous, to wrap some asparagus and prosciutto, and she's doing, like, a little grill tabletop thing with them. And then basically she just, like, debriefs with her husband.
Wait, something I saw on Twitter regarding this scene, because as we remember last week, we talked about how Mary was commenting saying, you need to cook for your family. They need nourishment. And people on Twitter were like, how Lisa go back home and get bullied into cooking for her family? I say Mary bully her into cooking for her family.
And figuring out how to make eggs. She was like, I'm going to learn how to make eggs. And I was like, how do you not know? Like, you are a grown woman who runs a very successful tequila company and a PR agency, and you don't know how to make eggs. Like, it's literally just following directions. Like, all you have to do is read.
Or YouTube. You don't even have to read.
Yeah. Yeah. You can watch a video, yeah. Lisa. I think Baby Gorgeous could make you some eggs, no, honestly.
Literally.
So then we get this really interesting scene Mary's church. So the first thing I noted is that she is preaching maskless. Mm-hmm. So take that what you will. She says it's her first service back in a year. And Jen Shah shows up at the church, which honestly floored me. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, I cannot believe Jen is there. But Jen says in her confessional that on Mother's Day, she texted everybody wishing them a happy Mother's Day. And Mary texted her separately and invited her to come to her church. So Jen went. Jen was also unmasked. I noted that. Just so everybody notices, this was May of 2020, just so everybody knows. Or May of 2021, just so everybody knows. So, yes, the vaccine was out and was widely available at that point. But, you know, just of note. So there she's sitting there and we watch some testimonials from some of the churchgoers. And do you want to describe sort of what was going on, Jacob?
I don't know if we have the same take. So I don't think so either. Yeah, this scene for me, I thoroughly really enjoyed this scene. I think it showed Mary in a different light. I think and we've oftentimes heard different things about her church. But I also, and her church is Presbyterian, I believe. And so okay. It's a different way that different not nationalities, but just like Christians, Baptists, Presbyterians, like different ways. Uh-huh. Not Christians, sorry, but Baptists. Just different ways.
It's all under the Christian umbrella.
Yes.
But it's different denominations. I grew up Roman Catholic. Okay. Yeah, I grew up Roman Catholic. So we did a lot of like Latin singing.
Okay, gotcha. You know? And and so this church, and I think it's a stark difference between like a black church and a lot of other churches. And I got very mm-hmm. like black Southern church, from Mary's thing. But I thought, I really liked the scene. I thought Mary looked phenomenal. I thought Jen looked really good. And the testimonials of the people, Mary's congregation, some people gave testimonials. And first off, I want to say before the testimonials, Mary was up there, like she was preaching, just celebrating mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I did want to make this comment. And I know a lot of times people say, oh, Mary's congregation views her as God. And you can have your own. If you see it that way, you can see it that way. But one thing that I did want to note is when Mary was talking, she often did say like made reverence to God, and not to make her seem like, oh, I'm the focus, but like made a lot of reverence. So I really paid attention to that because I know that's been a talk with the other ladies, like, oh, Mary makes her congregation view her as God.
I do want to say, though, the way that the people speaking about her. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to hit on that, but I just want to say Mary's own doing.
Yes.
And I think I would have loved to know the cadence of if this was like a celebration service or whatnot, because when I viewed it and I did see how her congregation were speaking about Mary, they were speaking really about her and how great she is. And I didn't immediately, it didn't ring really alarms in my head, just because I think I tried to give this situation the benefit of the doubt, because just religion, it oftentimes is a very sensitive topic to tackle or to talk about, and everyone does it differently. And so to not kind of like go into it, it's like, oh, this is like very weird, but just to go into it open-minded. Because I know at some churches that I have been to, it's like sometimes you do a celebration of the pastor if you haven't seen them for a long time, again, show them love and show them like, hey, this is the things that God has done through you in order for you to do it through us. And I feel like that is kind of what they hinted on, but it was much more of a reference to like how great Mary is. But I oftentimes did see under that they oftentimes put, okay, God is doing this through you, so you can do this to us, which I also saw as a prominent thing as well in their speech. And so, yeah.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely saw like the way that Mary was preaching was very much like what God mm-hmm. has done for her and what God can do for all of them. I think that this is not, you know, only a thing at Mary's church, mm-hmm. you know, that people, the congregation looks up and gives testimonials to the head of the church. Like, I think that actually, like, and I thought the way that Jen referred to it was very respectful of that, where she was like, I haven't seen this side of Mary, but I now see how she's used to being treated by her congregation, and she's viewed by them like she's a rock star who can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that that is like a special case just because it's Mary Cosby at her church. I think that is every church. I grew up Roman Catholic. You have problems in your marriage, you go see the priest. Mm-hmm. You have problems with your children, you go see the priest. You have problems with your work, you go see the priest. Like, you use the priest as though they are counselor, therapist, doctor, like everything. That, like, the head of the church is, you know, like the head of any hierarchy for a congregation. So I don't think that it's just Mary's church. I don't think that it's just, you know, like it's like she's running some cult and like she's the whatever. Like, I think that the way that Mary has defended herself to everybody, being like, this, what religion doesn't have someone saying stuff like that mm-hmm. about them, is incredibly true. Mm-hmm. And that I do think that the truth is somewhere in the middle mm-hmm. of both of these, you know, takes. It seems as though there's been people who were in Mary's church who were deeply hurt by her. Mm-hmm. But also it seems as though there are people in Mary's church who feel very connected to her mm-hmm. and feel very safe with her. And I do think that that's just the nature of religion.
Organized religion. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And even to the sentiments of, I did a lot, like, back in when I, my freshman year of college, sophomore year of college, I did a lot of like dissecting of faith, just my own specifically. Mm-hmm. And it was so just fascinating just reading about different religions and also tackling my own. And a lot of times when you think about the church, you oftentimes think, okay, who do you go to when times get tough? Or who do you go to if you like really in the church, and who do you go to when X, Y, and Z is happening? You go to the pastor or the people mm-hmm. on staff of that, and they have that leadership cadence. And so to view, and like what you said, it happens in almost every religion, but like to view mm-hmm. Mary as that, and how we've seen these people say like, oh, you're my best friend. Like, you've helped me out of all these situations. And I do think it's a difference, a lot of things, and I do want to circle back, but a lot of things that they were saying was directed at Mary. It was like, you're mm-hmm. awesome, you're this. And I did see a little, I'm not gonna say problem with that, I'm gonna say I was just like, huh, okay, I can see mm-hmm. how people, like the women, have been saying, oh, they view her as X, Y, and Z. But I felt as though under that it was this cadence of, okay, God put this in you, or who, you know, whomever you believe in, but for Mary's case, it's God put this in you for you to love us in whatever way. And so, yeah, be damned if you do, damned if you don't. Kind of, if you think mm-hmm. Mary's church is a cult, you think Mary's church is a cult. I personally don't think her church is a cult. I think it's things that happen that I may not want to go to, but that's just me. And I don't, if it works for her and her congregation, there it is. And yeah. I feel like what you said about it, kind of what you said earlier about just like religion, organized religion, it kind of happens. So
that's the thing. Like, any issue that I may personally have with Mary's church has nothing to do with Mary mm-hmm. and has everything to do with organized religion. Yeah. And like, we don't need to get Maggie's thoughts on organized religion yeah. on this podcast. But like, I think that it's just like, you know, that's the thing that I keep going back to, is the way that Mary defended herself mm-hmm. when these women were coming at her. I think that it was a super fair defense. Like, yeah. I do, given what we've seen and what, I mean, who knows what's going on behind closed doors. But again, who knows what's going on behind closed doors of any organized religion or any organization where there is a very distinct and clear hierarchy.
Yeah.
Where the people at the top are made, the group underneath the people at the top are made to think that the people at the top are always working in their best interest. Like, that is just like within any organization, that's going to happen. And yeah, again, now I feel like I'm like getting on a soapbox about
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying your dialogue with the conversation. That was good.
So yeah, that's really all I had to say. And I thought, I really was like, okay, Jen, I'm glad you stayed respectful. Yeah. Because Jen could have said like a lot of mean stuff, mm-hmm. but Jen basically was just like, I understand why Mary wouldn't want to be around us if this is the way that she's treated every day going through her life.
1,000%.
Yeah. So then basically the last scene is Whitney and Heather go over to Meredith's. Meredith has invited them over. They're doing this like workout thing basically where they like strap this machine to themselves that puts currents through their body while they're laying down. I don't know. It sounds like, you know, malarkey to me.
That is cheaper than Equinox.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But it's like, yeah, it's stimulating your muscles, but like the most important muscle in your body is your heart. Like you're doing no cardio whatsoever. Like you're laying there.
TBH.
The number one killer of women in the country is heart disease. And like, you're like, you know, like this is purely for, what's it called? For how you look, appearance purposes. 1,000%. Like, this is not at all for overall health. Like, this is not helping your overall health.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that.
But, so basically, like, they get there and Meredith is very friendly to them and she apologizes to Whitney. And Meredith is like, sorry. One, I'm very sorry. But also, like, you did make it seem like you were pointing a finger at me. Like, even if that's not how it was coming off, like you were trying to make it come off, like your delivery made it seem like that. And she said, and they all sort of reconcile. And Meredith says, like, just for the record, my father's memorial was on the 29th. And then we get this like confessional from Heather where she's like, wow. If it's the 29th, that's what I've been saying this whole time. Why would Lisa do this and cause all of this trouble? And I was like, Heather, look over at the girl next to you laying on the bed getting her treatment. She's the one who did this. Period. Because, yeah, Lisa made a comment or two, and then Whitney started to spin it and rile everybody up. And bad weather started to be the tornado of spinning the
tornado,
truth.
Spin the truth. Destroy.
And got everybody involved. And I am standing by this take that the rumor about Meredith and her dad's memorial would never have happened had it not been for Whitney.
Would have not began?
Yes, I would have never gotten any further than that.
Oh, okay,
because Lisa
have not gotten any further than yeah, I agree.
They might have like discussed it a little bit, but Whitney was like, "Oh my gosh, I bet." But like, I think it would have been like a one-off remark that Lisa made mm-hmm. to Heather, and Heather might have been like, "That's weird," and then that was it. Because Heather even said in a confessional, "Like I thought all of this was a misunderstanding," which like, duh. It obviously is a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why this episode sucked a little bit, because it was just like everybody was drunk. Yeah, drunk talking about a misunderstanding.
Yeah, bad weather, spin the truth, destroy. Bad weather, the next season, get a storyline, because I don't think y'all would be fired, because people love to, like, I think Bravo wants to make Heather and Bad Weather the fan favorites. But if I know anything, I need to give Meredith Marks the biggest check, especially for coming, if she's going to come back next season. Hopefully she comes back with a friend that, well, you know, it's been on and again, off again. I'm going to bring this up, but some articles have said Mary is not returning. Some articles have said Mary is returning as a friend of.
Well, can we do tea time?
Yeah, let's do tea time.
Okay, ready?
I don't have any liquid, but
Jacob's making mouth sounds. Okay. So, friend of thing. Mm-hmm. So there was a Page Six article that came out on Twitter that said that Mary would not be returning, and she replied to the Page Six Twitter account directly and was like, "This is not true. I never said a word to you guys." Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, "So but we thought that they were just like saying something that we already knew. Like, yeah. I didn't know that you were returning. Like, is that what's happening?" So let's talk about the friend of thing. I hadn't seen that.
So it was just an article saying it was like, you know, those I think Queen of Bravo, they sometimes do it, but I don't follow them. But it's like different Twitter accounts. They have like some alleged tea that's people, mm-hmm. insiders from the season. They write down and say like, oh, we saw Mary filming with a camera crew at this like location. And so I don't think she's come back as a full time for one, because she didn't come back. She didn't come to the reunion. That's like a big like, mm-hmm. no, you have to come to the reunion. It's in your contract. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a speculation out there that she is filming. I mean, and we saw the camera crew with Jen and Heather, when they went to Mary's church and talked to Mary's uncle asking, oh, where is she? When Jen was just on Twitter Spaces with Mary, and then Mary said, oh, Jen hit me up after the reunion, and thank you, Jen, giving her thanks. So it's very random. I don't see them filming, because typically with Housewives shows, if someone doesn't come back, they just don't talk about that person again, or they may bring them up, but like not in a sense of, oh, let's track this person down, where are they? And so it's very like weird.
I would not be shocked at all if they brought her on as a friend of, because I think that that's where Mary would be most comfortable.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have to go on these trips. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't have to do all this silly stuff. She could still come to group events, you know? Yeah. She could be the friend of and still go to the luncheons and, you know, go to birthday parties and stuff.
She just doesn't have to give an insight to her own life.
Exactly. Yeah. Like she can be much more hands off, and she doesn't have to put herself in situations where she just straight up doesn't want to be there. Like, she can pick and choose what she wants to go to, which like would be amazing. I would love to have Mary, like a little bit of Mary.
Yeah,
Cosby,
I would love to have
on
little
the show.
I mean, because her commentary with these episodes, and hopefully she'll get a confessional too, because we saw Angie get confessionals when she was on. But it's also, I remember
she will. Mary Cosby is the best confessional person
on this franchise. Honestly,
yeah.
Like her
honestly,
her humor,
like on Bravo.
TBA, she's probably top five for sure. On any show. But she's like that interesting cuckoo character that like, what, like, honestly, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I think they definitely need America. Honestly, they need America's presence on this show. Like, it keeps the light on, like a percentage of the lights on for this franchise. So fingers crossed.
Well, I could also see them, you know, filming a little bit. You know, they only did the reunion a month ago. So like, I could see them filming a little bit with Mary, thinking she's going to be a friend of, and then her getting on better terms with Andy and the production crew, and them like bringing her fully back for, because she gets like a big storyline.
Like she did the first season.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like the first season. I could really see that. So we'll just have to see. Did you watch Whitney on Watch What Happens Live?
No, I scoffed at it, but I did see like clips, but you can give me a rundown if you watched it.
No, I didn't watch it. I also just saw clips. I saw clips of Julia Garner, who's like an amazing, amazing, amazing actress, with her doing like a fun impression of her. I'm not going to lie. I know you scoff at her and you're not into her at the moment. She looked amazing. She looked like a supermodel. Her hair long like that. She needs to keep her hair long. I thought she looked
pretty. Beautiful. I saw it. Yeah, she was beautiful. Uh-huh. Yeah. Also, I want to know, I remember last week it was a question regarding Meredith's face. And I know we was like, oh, she it looks like she has some work done. We didn't really dive that into it. It was like, hey, whatever you want to do. But Meredith did go on Instagram. She put it on her Instagram story saying, I keep getting asked, like, my face was swollen during this thing, during the taping of it. It was no surgical procedure. And that's just what it is. If she says it's not, it's not. And we're going to go with it.
Absolutely. I am never going to be talking about women's bodies in a way that is, if she said that that's what it is, then that's what it is.
Yeah,
you know, sure. I'll talk about some makeup, Jen Shaw, get out the spoolie, but you know, that's about as far as I go. So
Yeah. So I love Meredith. Love you, Meredith. Meredith, if you want to come on the podcast, I would love to have you on. Wait, I'll talk to you about this after pod, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So is that all we have for today?
I think that's all we have. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
This was a shorter one than we've done in the last couple, because there's been just so much to talk about. I still feel like we got an hour
Yes. There will not be a podcast. There will not be an episode for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City next week. And so we will be off. But then the following week is the season finale. Mm-hmm. So the 27th, I believe. I'm not too sure. 14th, no. Whatever date is next. No episode on the 13th.
Next week, yeah, no episode on the 13th. So then
the following.
The 20th.
Yeah, the 20th. Mm-hmm. That's the season finale, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Or the 27th, one of those. But yeah. So season's all coming to a close.
All right. We've been at it for almost 6 months, guys. Thank you for staying on this journey with us. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you. Yes. Jacob, where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter on social media, at JacobJ_Jones. And also, I will be doing my first BB coverage of the season on Thursday.
Ooh.
Which, yippee. So yeah, what about you, Maggie?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_ and on Twitter @_MLMorgan. And I also was on the live feed update for Big Brother Celebrity on Monday, and next Wednesday, so not the day that this comes out, but the following Wednesday, I'll be on a recap episode of the podcast.
Fun, fun, fun.
So I'm not sure how much more I'm going to get to do during BB Celeb, but it's like,
it's,
you know, a 25-day season.
Yeah.
And we got really, really, you know, it was very sad story, because Jacob was supposed to be on the first live feed update of the season, and then we didn't have feeds.
I was.
Sad story. I missed you so much. And people were tweeting. People were like, where is Jacob Jones? And
I'm
I was
here,
like,
baby.
He's right here. He's right here.
Catch me every Tuesday
you,
or
baby.
Wednesday. Love you, baby. Bye. Catch me every Tuesday or Wednesday talking to Maggie. Yeah, I can't wait for it. So,
All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Love you, baby.
Bye.